When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Listening to this podcast, you must recognize the value of asking questions. At Aramco, our questions help us engineer a better future. How can today's resources fuel our shared tomorrow? How can we deliver energy to a world that can't stop? How can we deliver one of the fuels of the future? How can we sow curiosity to harvest ingenuity? To learn more about how innovation drives us forward, visit aramco.com/poweredbyhow.
Hello, and welcome to a special bonus episode of His Darker Materials, the podcast that parallels the BBC HBO show His Dark Materials, which adapts the books by Philip Pullman. My name's Helen O'Hara, and you'll also be hearing in this episode from my co-host, Dave Corkery. But we thought we'd do a little extra special because we got to sit down earlier in the series with Amir Wilson, who plays Will Parry, and Daphne Keane, of course, who plays Lara Balakwa. And we thought it was worth bringing you the full interview with both of them because they were a lot of fun together and they had loads to say about their experience on the show that we didn't have time to put in the episodes 5 and 6 coverage. So we thought we'd just bring you essentially the entire interview, just cleaned up and hopefully making sense. As ever, if you'd like to get in touch with us, we're on Instagram at Stripped Media, Twitter at Stripped Media UK, and please use the hashtag His Darker Materials so that we know to look out for it. And that's about all from me, so please enjoy this little bonus episode with Amir Wilson and Daphne Keane.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Still recovering from the shock of Daphne destroying her house with a
dropping
with a knife,
ruining my eardrums.
Says Amir, who was literally smashing the microphone for like 5 minutes.
It's actually called a blue snowball, Daphne.
Blue snowball. That sounds like a dangerous. That sounds like a fantasy item in itself.
That sounds like Amir just made it up. That just sounds like Amir just saw blue and snowball and just said blue snowball.
I can actually back him up on this because I have a blue Yeti made by the same company. So presumably the blue Yeti threw the blue snowball and that's what happened.
It's all connected.
What can I say?
Now, Daphne, we had you on the show last year and we've already asked you this question. But Amir, welcome to the show, first time. But you probably have been asked this a million times, but we have to ask, what would your demon be? If you were to have one.
I haven't heard this one before.
Very creative.
My demon. I know you obviously don't get to choose. Mm. And if I could choose my demon, I'd probably pick like a bird or something, like a golden eagle or something.
Oh.
Something that could fly, like a cool animal. Or I really like Asriel's demon, like a snow leopard.
Yeah.
Snow leopard. Yeah, I think that's really, really beautiful and really nice looking.
Bit awkward though, getting on public transport with a...
Yeah, a bit,
snow leopard.
Only a little bit.
Yeah,
but you'd still look pretty cool, and people would give you a seat. They'd give you a lot of space with a snow leopard beside
you. Yeah. And forget all the priority seating.
And Daphne, what about you? Has your answer changed in the year since we've seen you?
I think I just have different moods in the day. I'm feeling quite feline today, like very
dumb. What was your answer last year?
A monkey. I'm just such a monkey person. I think Amir could probably back me up on this. But today I'm not in a like really energetic mood, so definitely like something that will just sleep around the house.
Sloth.
Yeah, literally.
So, I mean, you guys basically spent all of season one in completely separate storylines. So how much fun was it to actually finally get to work together?
Horrible.
Terrible.
Nightmarish.
God, glad we're being honest. No, I'm joking. We had such a good time. Thing is, for me, my experience of season one and season two was kind of like the same thing. Mm. When I'd been confirmed for the role in like April 2019, they'd already filmed season one. And they decided that they wanted a bit of Will's backstory in Will's World, and so we filmed that like 2 month block, Will's World, which is what you see in season one. And then there was a month off whilst Daphne and Ruth, they were doing like Comic Con and all the press for season one as it was being released, and Lynn, Clark Peters, everyone, they were doing press. And then a month after, we started season two. But it was good. It kind of felt like the same thing, and I feel like if I hadn't done that bit before, I wouldn't have been prepared for season two as much.
Yeah, yeah, but you mentioned the sort of being cast and coming in a little later. How did that process work, and did you guys do like chemistry reads and put you together?
Amir met my double, Eloise, and thought it was me, which is quite awkward for everyone.
Yeah, I'm the only Will that didn't actually ever get to meet Daphne.
Yeah, so waste of my time. I'm joking. They were all lovely, but I didn't get to meet Amir. And I went in, it was so incredible. And then they were like, there's this one boy that we love who is in Prague.
I was in Prague at the time.
So then I was doing ADR like 3 days later, and they were like, it's 100% Amir Olsen. And this was like March, and then he got confirmed in April.
Yeah, I did. And then I flew out to Madrid. Like beginning of May, and then me and Daphne met in Madrid for the first time. We went out for a meal together. I was there for like the weekend. It was really nice.
Right.
Well, lucky that you got on well then. At least you passed the chemistry test with the double.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So did you guys have a favourite scene to do together? And if it's from season 2, episode 7, don't tell us. But if there's anything before that, then please let us know.
I love the heist scene. The heist scene was definitely really fun to film. And then I'm not sure if they moved this scene around, but I think I'm allowed to say it. It's the one where Will and I are sitting on like the cliff, and they're talking about trusting people and about Will being bullied and stuff. It's like they were all so vulnerable and sweet.
Let's pick up on that scene then for a minute, Daphne, then, because that is quite a lovely, tender scene with Will and Lyra. And talk a bit maybe about the relationship of Will and Lyra and how it develops from that caginess at the beginning to that point where suddenly, you know, they're really opening up to each other.
I think it's just beautiful how they can, by the end of the season, they can just be so vulnerable with each other and have these really emotional chats. And that scene specifically was probably the biggest milestone on that regard. Mm. Like, it's the first time they're properly talking about how they feel and their trust issues and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. Like, Lyra's kind of scared of her mum, and Amir's scared and Will's scared for his mum. Like, they're coming at, you know, things from completely different angles, but kind of meeting in the middle almost.
Yeah, it's like opposite to trap. Opposites attract type of thing. They're both really, really different. Lyra's quite spontaneous. He kind of seems to like rush into things. Will was kind of, he's spent his life trying to hide and kind of keep on the down low, and that's what he's good at. He's kind of an expert in that, keeping on the down low and making sure that kind of no one's really aware of his movements and what he's doing, because if people found out, social services found out, you know, that he's living with his mum and his mum is the way she is and struggles with these problems, they'd probably try to take him away from her.
Yeah.
Which obviously doesn't want that, and so he's used to keeping on the down low, keeping his quiet. And then he meets Lyra, and obviously you see in that episode where like Lyra rushes out into Oxford, she runs through the portal, and Will's like, you can't do that, like, it's serious stuff, because keeping on, like, it means a lot to him, definitely. Mm-hmm. Keeping on the down low. Yeah,
they're also, I think their approach to grief is also really different, which I think is a big character trait in people, and the fact how they both deal with it is just, it's so interesting. I feel like Lyra is someone who looks like she's much more expressive about her emotions, but she isn't really, because when the whole Roger thing happens, Will doesn't know about Roger until well into the show. And it's just, I think that's because that one scene that we were saying is just so nice, because we've gotten to that point where we've kind of acknowledged what happened with Roger. He's kind of addressed what's happened with his father, not really. And it's this moment of like truth and just talking about, they were both abandoned by their dad, so they have that big thing in common, which is just, I think the thing that
they
just,
both, because of the situations they've been put in, they've both kind of been forced to grow up kind of earlier than they expected to, and kind of grow up really fast and kind of become an adult, like really young, and, you know, like fend for themselves, look after themselves. And I think that's what they can, that's what they both have in common. One of the things they have in common.
But I think Will is in some ways the more adult of the two, in that he's had to not only care for himself, but care for someone else in a way. Whereas, you know, Lyra has been somewhat protected by the college and by Mike Costa and the gypsies and Lee and, you know, this parade of people who have been there to help her out, which is not to say she's had it easy, quite the opposite. But, you know, she has learned to trust other people in a way that Will has never had the opportunity to do so.
I feel like I agree with you, but at the same time, I'm going to have a different point of view to this, because I feel like Will in some ways is obviously more mature than her, because you don't just run out of a portal and then get run over by a car. Like, that's just dumb. But at the same time, I feel like Will doesn't know how to act when situations get out of hand, whereas Lyra has really good reflexes when it comes to that. She's good at, like, making up excuses quickly, lying. When something happens, it's always Lyra that's like, Will, do something with the knife. And he's just, like, frozen there and stuff. So I think it's just different ways of approaching life. I think just he's more mature.
I think socially awkward. I think he's maybe mature in the field, like in doing things, being able to look after himself. But I think when it comes to like social, like Daphne just said, social situations and being able to get yourself out of situations, I don't think Will's the best at that.
And that's kind of why these two characters complement each other so well. And when one is low, the other picks them up. You know, you talked about the effects on Lyra of Roger's death, and we see that in episode one, and she's very withdrawn, and Will works very hard to bring her out of that. And then in this episode, that's kind of reversed, because Will and Amir, you're playing him very, he's hurting literally, he's very ill and he's scared, and Lyra reaches out to him and sort of brings him with her, you know.
Yeah, it's nice how they use each other's characteristics to kind of better one another. I think that's really good. They realize that certain things that they're good at can help them both achieve what they need to achieve. And they get to see that as the story goes on.
Amir, I'm curious, how close to these books were you when you sort of got the call, or you found out about this?
I knew what the Golden Compass was. I hadn't read the books before I'd got the role. When I got the role, I read The Subtle Knife first, because it was weird. I was going straight into it, like very fast into it, and I hadn't read the books at all. And I had like 2 weeks before I was filming. I was like, I can't read two books then. So I read The Subtle Knife first, and then I read The Northern Lights, and then after I read The Amber Spyglass, I read it out of order. But it was fine, because it was good though, because as I was reading Subtle Knife, I was also like watching the series. And it was kind of like, I was kind of gathering also information from season one from what I was seeing as well. It was cool.
So you must have been like reading Sudden Knife, like, who's this Lyra girl? Where's she?
Yeah.
Where's she come from?
What's she doing in Will's story? Come on. So it wasn't something that you'd kind of, you know, fallen in love with as a kid and gone after. Was it just the people involved that kind of got you interested in the role and just, you know, reading about, you know, whatever they told you about Will at that point?
I really enjoyed playing the character. All the auditions, I was just really, every time I got called back, I was just more excited. I mean, I saw in my audition, they brought in one time, they had this boxing coach there. Some guy came, I walked into the audition, I had like my size in my hand, this guy gave me a glove, some boxing. I was like, this is a weird audition. what's going on? That was where actually I met Eloise, Daphne's double. It was that audition. And yeah, they made me do a little round with this guy. And then I did the scene after. It's funny. There was like a really intense scene that I was auditioning for. The Mr. Hanway scene when Will leaves his mother, you know, in season one, when he drops his mum at Mr. Hanway. So that was my audition scene. And just before that, my other scene was like a boxing scene. So I was like sweating and I'm really meant to be really upset. And I was just really hot. So, it was fun.
Did you have any experience boxing before, or was this real acting?
yeah, no, it was, yeah, not properly. I mean, I'd done like combat before. I mean, I did like, I did judo as a kid, but boxing, no, not really. No.
You did judo?
I did
you
judo,
probably
yeah,
hurt yourself like, more than you hurt the other people then.
Yeah, definitely. I probably just fell on the floor. My long legs like wrapped around each other. But.
Well, I was going to ask you guys about sort of, you know, actions and stunts and all this kind of stuff, because I think we talked to you a little bit about it last year, Daphne, but you know, did you have a lot to do this season? Was there a lot of kind of training and that kind of thing for this, for these roles?
Not really. There was a lot of me running behind like Bella Ramsey and Ella. Like it was crazy, but there was running, but there's not really, I think Amir has more of the fight stuff. I had to drop to the floor a few times and stuff. I remember on set I dropped in the rehearsal and I proper did it because I have quite a lot of experience with fake falling. Don't ask me why. And I fake fell and no one was like expecting it and everyone got like really concerned. And I was like, guys, I'm just acting. But that was probably the biggest thing that I had to do, was just like drop on the floor. I mean, I had all of this like really cool rope fighting, like weird scene, which is sick.
Yeah. You got to beat up like 15 guys in Logan. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You got to do that. That was fun. That must have been fun. Yeah. No, go on. No, I was just going to talk about the stunts. I know we rehearsed a knife fight. I mean, I remember they never wanted to give me the actual metal knife. They never trusted me with it. They always gave me this plastic thing.
But not even in the still scenes. Like, they just always gave Amir the knife because he'd break it. Yeah. Like, he would have broken it.
Yeah, I'd probably do something. I fell over a lot with a knife in my hand. I think that's why the props team were really, like, scared. Yeah, really, quite a wise choice.
Mm-hmm. He fell off a high rock with the knife in his hand, like over me, and then onto another fake rock.
You guys might have seen the scene, actually. It's
yeah.
The scene where they're with the witches, and then the spectre comes.
Yeah.
And then Will runs up and he points his knife. So when I run up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I run up that tiny bit there. So when I run up that bit, when I chase the spectre up that tiny hill, after they said cut, I literally just like fell back, tripped over a rock, and like some dramatic fall to the ground. And everyone was like, whoa.
Everyone thought he was like dead, but he wasn't.
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, I know of a lot of actors who've basically used the rubber knives throughout their career, you know, just aren't trusted with the metal ones. It's probably wise. Yeah. Leave that to the professional stunt people, I think.
Speaking of the knife and you know, this is a podcast, so you guys can't see what Amir did, but you give us the three finger salute there.
With the two fingers cut off.
can you tell us? Like, was it, you know, from a practical level, are you just hiding those fingers in the bandage, or was it CG edited out? Or
so, it was basically a prosthetic glove that they'd like slide over my fingers. So they'd take my fingers back in the morning. So they take them back. I mean, obviously, I know it's a podcast. You guys can't actually see what I'm talking about. They'd take my fingers back for the whole day. And then they'd slide this glove on and then obviously make it seamless. They put blood on it, put, you know, like gruesome stuff on it to make it look. Yeah, exactly. All of that stuff to make it look all gruesome and bloody. And I kind of just stayed in it the whole day. And then at the end of the day, I put to take it off.
Yeah, oh. Shout out Laura Adet. Shout out.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
Laura
so Adet, good.
Prosthetic artist. Amazing. Great. Yeah, it was
sweaty.
Sweaty. That was what it was. It was quite horrible. yeah, quite sweaty. Just having to keep my position. I guess I kind of got used to it because the tape was just doing the work for me. So I just got used to it. Yeah. And obviously, I'm left-handed as well. And I mean, obviously, it's never stated in the books, I don't think. But I mean, they had to switch. They had to make sure my right fingers got cut off because I'm actually left-handed. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, bit of a departure from the book, but a sensible one actually. It kind of fits. Kind of fits with the whole, you know, them almost being mirror images of each other. Look, you could do something thematic with that and pretend like, oh yeah, we totally did it on purpose.
Absolutely on purpose.
Let's talk a bit about Chittagaza. Did I say it right this time? I'll never get it right.
Isn't it Gatsi?
Chittagazzi.
Thank you guys. It's just cool. I think Italian. So we spend a lot of time here in this season, and so do you guys, literally. Could you talk to us a bit about the set itself, and you know, what it looked like, and what it was? Was it a living, breathing kind of place, or what was it like?
It was incredible. It was basically, it looked like wood from the outside, and then you stepped in, and you were in a city. It was honestly incredible. it was really helpful because you could just act. You could proper feel like you were there and not just pretending against green screen, which is usually what happens.
Yeah. On the back lot of the studio, they had like basically built this huge, yeah, like Daphne said, like it's a little town, a little village, and they had the tower you see, that was actually, apart from the top bit with the knife sticking at the top, other than that was CG, but the actual tower was built, that square, the whole, everything you see us running in, that was actually just built in the back lot. And yeah, I remember the first day we got with all the kids who were the Chittagatsi kids, like obviously Angelica, Paolo and all of them that we got to go on, then we got to wander around. There's actually like bakery shops, there's barber shops, there's like a grocery store. It was really crazy.
It had like, you could just walk into the place and it wasn't just empty. It had every single like little product and stuff. It was really fun.
I think it was so like they could shoot in any direction, yeah, and kind of just not have to shoot off a green screen. I think it was just easier. And it was easier for us as well, really immersive. Mm.
Yeah, it does massively help when you're not like completely surrounded by green screen. And yeah, you used to hear stories in the old days about people getting green screen sickness after spending all day shooting like broomstick flying or something. They would literally start throwing up. So, you know, at least you escaped that. So that's good.
And even Win and Lyra's house, that was a three-story house. That was in the indoor part.
Two different sets, which is, I would say, they had Will and Lara's house and a couple streets inside the studio. And that was we had a three-story house with like the restaurant downstairs, working fires. So when I'm cooking, it was actually hot, which was, they were kind of worried because I'm very clumsy. But
I know, we experienced that at the top of the episode. Yeah.
Not real baths though. I was bathing in oat milk.
Oh.
In that scene, I'm bathing in oat milk, yeah.
That's very Cleopatra.
So warm water, lukewarm water. I emphasize lukewarm. And they tipped like a whole bottle of oat milk in there and it just made it cloudy. It was quite,
Funny story. We both had to take a shower at one point and I was told there was going to be water, but Amir wasn't. So they were like, Amir was like, so is the water going to drop? And they were like, no, you're just going to be dry, you're just going to get exasperated and nothing's going to happen. And Amir just goes, I remember I was in the tent, I was watching the scene, and no one was told there was going to be water apart from the water guys. And then suddenly you just hear, just Amir in the shower freezing to death.
Soaking wet. Yeah, that was funny. Jamie Childs.
Daphne, you mentioned the cooking in the kitchen. I got to ask, which of you guys can make the better omelette?
Me. No, Amir.
Amir's putting
Stop
his hand
lying.
Up.
Amir has put his
Amir's
hand
good
up
at
as well.
Pancakes.
Let the record show.
Wait, are you talking about characters or real people? Actually, no, Daphne's really good at making omelettes in real life. 100%.
Thank you.
Okay.
100%. Yeah, I'll give her that. I actually will give her that.
Glad we settled that. I'm tipping both of you for the celebrity Great British Bake Off next year. I want to see Daphne and Amir face off.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of omelettes on Bake Off, but, you know, there's room.
Yeah, good point.
It could be a technical.
Celebrity MasterChef.
And you know, did you guys have fun, you know, with Bella Ramsey and the other kids on set? Because, you know, you must have been surrounded mostly by adults the entire time.
It was great. We had a really good time. I mean, we weren't even surrounded by adults that much. It was mainly I had to be with Daphne so much.
God. Oh
my
gosh.
So I spent so much
so
time
hard,
with Daphne. it was nice that how long did we shoot with them for? A couple weeks. I mean, they were on set in Cardiff for a few weeks.
In total, it was probably 2 weeks. But we had them throughout, like just divided up in days.
Here and there.
So it was basically, it felt like they were there for the entire time. They were lovely. I mean, they're just incredible. They're so funny.
There's a scene where...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
God,
I keep interrupting you guys.
Don't worry, it's all right.
We just did tons of stuff with them. They're just lovely. We went climbing with Ella, remember? Ella was just, and we went, oh my God, we went trampolining with Ella. That was probably one of the best days ever.
Yeah, Ella plays Paola. Ella plays Paola, by the way.
Ella plays Paola, and she's a dancer and stuff. So we were like there, and it's just so funny. We were just on trampolines, and she's just hilarious. And she's just like doing all of these crazy things. We love Ella.
Yeah, that was good fun.
And were either of you fans of Game of Thrones? Had you seen Bella before in that?
You know, I'm watching Game of Thrones like right now.
Oh, really?
Before I joined this, I was just watching an episode of Game of Thrones.
That's why you were late.
Probably. Yeah, and I enjoy it. I don't think I've seen Bella yet.
No, she comes in late, quite late on. So if you're only just getting into it, yeah, you've got a while to go. Yeah, spoiler, she's in it.
I have not watched Game of Thrones, but I knew about Ella, and obviously everyone knows about Ella, but I mean Bella. God, I always get, like, it's the same name, but with a B. But Lewin Lloyd, who plays Roger in season one, had worked with her on Judy. And he always used to, when we were on set, I'm really good mates with Lewin. And because Bella and I are like, she's just a year older than me and we're like quite similar and stuff, Lewin always used to make me compete with her. He was like, I prefer Bella, like every time he wanted to annoy me. So then I finally met Bella and then we did it to him. And we were like, we just prefer each other now, so you can just leave. But yeah.
Harsh, harsh. Mean. Poor little Roger.
Poor Lewin. Tell us a bit about, so you finally got up the tower and lo and behold, Mr. Terence Stamp was up there and you had a little training montage with him. Tell us a bit about working with one of the legends of British theatre and screen.
Yeah, it was nice. We had we didn't actually have many days shooting with him. And the scenes were quite short. We had 4 days. He was really lovely, really friendly. He's quite quiet, actually. I mean, quiet guy. But he was really, really friendly. Good conversation. Really, really sweet guy. Really, really sweet guy. Mm. Yeah, we had fun. I remember he was telling us a story. I mean, he told me one time about how he fell off a horse, actually, when he was filming. They'd given him a horse that kind of wasn't trained properly, I guess. I mean, it hadn't properly been trained, and got put on the horse, and the horse basically jumped up in the air and flew back and like landed on him. Really, really bad. Yeah, really got into a really bad horse accident. I remember he was telling me that, and I was like, because I worked with horses on The Let's the King. That's how it came about. I did a bit of horse riding in that, and we were talking about that, and yeah, he told me his story, and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
He told us tons of stories. He was a real storyteller. He told us about like how he started acting, just like tons of stuff. It was really cool. Yeah.
Because he started probably about your age, right? I mean,
he started like 19.
Yeah,
I think so. Like
young, yeah.
Young.
Yeah. And you're like, whatever, Terence, you fell off a horse, but I got to wear this glove all day.
I got to have sweaty fingers.
Oh, the nightmare.
Tell us a bit about the window. So after that scene, you know, Will learns to open these windows, and you guys make great use of these in the window heist in the following episode. What are you reacting to there? Is it just, you know, is it a tennis ball in the air, or do they just give you a spot here and look at this?
So it's like they set up the wires. It's like guitar strings, basically.
It's fishing line.
Yeah, fishing line, that's what it is. It's really thin, basically invisible. And the idea in the show is that basically you kind of feel along for these strings in the air. And once you find a string, you can like hook your knife around the string and then it just slices open.
Right.
And it's like basically just like splitting two strings together, taking them apart. Mm. And it folds open and leaves this gate, this window into another world. And it was fun. We got to play with that. I mean, it was cool because obviously Will gets better and better as he goes along, gets easier. It's cool, getting to experiment with Will, you know, not being able to do it at all when he first cuts his fingers. And then at the end, he just really swift with it, quickly slides down, closes it, becomes an expert.
Yeah. It's always good. It's always good to have that kind of training montage, you know. And then there's usually the training montage, they don't quite get it by the end of it, but, you know, the mentor or whoever is kind of satisfied and goes off and does whatever else they do. Or
cuts off
in this
dies
case.
In a horrible day.
Dies in this case, okay. but then there's the kind of like mastering the techniques afterwards. So, you know, I guess the window heist, if that's what we're calling it, is a great example of, you know, just practicing until you get it really, really good. It's, it's awesome.
Well, let's talk a bit about the window heist, maybe, because you mentioned at the top that that was one of your favorite sequences to film. How was it all put together, and was it how long did that take in that house set?
That was actually like a few days, that whole like sequence. Well, I mean, because obviously they were shot in two bits. There was like, Daphne and Ruth's bit.
I can't remember my name. He's known me for more than a year now. I can't remember my name. It's been a very long day.
It's already late afternoon.
Long day. Yeah. There was Lyra and Mrs. Coulter's bit, and then there was obviously Will and Lord Boreal's bit, and that was kind of, they were kind of shot separately. But obviously there's a bit before where Will sneaks in before Lyra comes down the stairs. I felt like I was on that set for a long time, but that was probably one of my favorite sets. Other than Chittagatse, that was actually my favorite set. I had a really cool like astronaut. It was like a museum basically. Yeah. You've obviously seen it. It had like an astronaut suit. It had like all these like bits of the Berlin Wall on it as well. Ooh. Inside it, in these like glass cabinets. Really, really cool.
Yeah, what would you take from the set if you could?
Fun fact. Wait, one second. Oh, yeah? Amir, the day he had the scene with Ruth, we carpooled like on the way back to work, and he was like, I'm going to ditch you. I've made it in life. I'm working with Ruth, not with you anymore. I'm just going to remind you that.
I mean, that's fair. I feel like any of us meeting Ruth Wilson would be the same way to anybody in our lives. Like, I'm sorry, yeah. You're not my friend anymore. Now I'm hanging out with Ruth Wilson, so sorry. So what would you take from those cabinets if you could? What would be your souvenir from the set? I'm not saying
the skeleton, the like weird... There was like this ancient person skeleton. Oh, yeah. I don't even know what it was, but it was
like a Neanderthal or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
I would have taken the caveman skeleton. Awesome. I would just imagine having that in your house. That would be so sick. So weird, but space sick.
Suit. Definitely the space suit.
Yeah, space suit. Yeah. I think I'd be the space suit as well.
Just wear it around the house.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Cash.
Daphne, was it nice to be reunited with Ruth again for an intense mother-daughter fight scene?
Oh, it was lovely. It was actually, we really, really enjoyed it. I mean, we had a great time with it. We went pretty crazy. I think they probably, yeah, no, we had a great time. It was just, she's so amazing. She's so talented. So lovely. Really fun. Also, it was so cool because we got to hang, it was like four of us, and the four of us get on so well.
Right.
So it was just, we just had a great time those days. And then we just, it was so weird because we'd walk in and it was extremely intense and we were like crying and screaming, and then Aaron and Amir were like fighting, and then we'd go off to the tents and we were literally like doing the Boreal, like the Boreal adverts.
Oh, yeah,
that,
yeah.
Aaron made us do.
Aaron, so you know L'Oreal, you're worth it.
He made everyone,
and when I mean everyone, I do mean everyone.
Everyone
crew members,
set.
Cast. Yeah, pretty, Boreal, you're worth it. And that was a painful, painful time.
I mean, that's an irresistible pun, though. I understand why he would do it. I do.
That is,
but he
it.
Really milked it. It went on for a really long time. It wasn't just a one day thing. It went on for like ages.
Everyone knew it was happening.
Well, how were your fight scenes, Amir, with him? Because, you know, it was one of those moments where you like, you suddenly really did realize, like, this is a half-grown person fighting, like, this big guy, you know? He seemed really outmatched for a second there.
Yeah, it was cool. And it's fun. Me and Aaron get along really well, and it's good. So I could tell him, like, he could go harder on me and it'd be fine. And, like, it felt like we'd be able to do that and, like, kind of push the limits and kind of have fun with it. And it was really good. I got to smash a vase over his back, which was really fun. They were going to get the stunty. And then Aaron was like, I want to do it. And I was like, I want Aaron to do it as well. And then, yes, there was like this clay, you see at the end, and I smashed it over his back. Yeah, it was fun. We had a really good time doing that.
How many takes did that take?
I think they were running out of us. I think we did it in like three.
Three phases.
And each time I got harder and harder, yeah.
I love that. They're running out of phases. What about, and Daphne, you got the sort of demon match rematch, you know, between Pan and the Nameless Monkey.
It was so fun to film because it's not just physical, which it is, because obviously even if you're not fighting with your own body, you are actually fighting because you're feeling all of the pain and like all the strain and stuff. But what was really, really fun about it, I'd say, was just the fact that interesting duality that Lyra has in that scene where she's going, I'm not like you, and yet she's doing exactly what her mother does. And you can see she's enjoying it, but she's hating herself for enjoying it. And that's what she says later on to Will. Like, she just, it doesn't feel okay, but it is a human instinct we have. When you have rage, you just react like that. It's completely, it's natural and it's horrible, and it was just so raw, and it was just so fun to do. Especially, it's an honor doing it with Ruth because she's just incredible.
Please tell me there's footage of the two demon puppets fighting each other on
set. Oh my god, yes, there is.
You know, I was just about to say that. I said that was my favorite part, watching the demon and the puppeteers just running about. It's like smacking the
puppets. It's really funny because then you see me and Ruth being like extremely emotional, like crying, screaming. And then I remember at one point, one of Pan's legs fell off and I just got the worst giggles ever. And when you get the giggles and you associate it to the line you're saying, so every time you say the line, you get the giggles. It was just, it was not a good moment, but we made it, so it's fine.
Well, another moment that really stood out to me in this episode was actually Boreal's demon. There's a moment when he's first heading to Will, and he like launches his demon out of his...
No, stop.
Like,
yeah, no, that was fun. I mean, because Arian actually had, they had a real
Sean,
snake for
it was
Arian.
Called Sean. It pissed
Sean,
on me
that's
once.
His name, Sean.
Sean the snake.
Oh, no.
Sean pissed on Daphne once.
Oh, wow.
Not good.
yeah, no, but obviously for that bit, they didn't actually bring the snake out. I would have run off. I would have actually just gone out.
They weren't just firing snakes.
No one would have blamed you.
Yeah. Where's Amir? Yeah. Gone.
Yeah. No, it was cool. Liam was like, Amir, like, scream. And I was like, yeah, every time the snake would have to come out. It was fun.
Did you get to touch the snake, Amir?
I never did. I saw it. I never got to touch it.
He doesn't dare.
Actually, no, I did. That's a lie. That is a lie. I held it on set once. Sure. On that set.
Mm.
On that.
It's mucky. It's mucky. It peed on me. I do not like the snake.
I never think about snakes peeing on people.
I did not until it peed on me. And now I never holding snakes.
Think about nothing else.
Me.
Yeah.
I guess they got to pee.
I guess. Somebody once brought goats into our office to promote a movie, and after that, all animal visits were banned. So don't have goats. Don't work with goats. That's my top tip.
Goats are dicks. Yeah.
Goats. Don't like goats.
We had a dog on season one on set, and the dog got fired because it kept smiling into the camera. It's quite funny.
How can you fire a dog for smiling into a camera?
It was so sweet. It was like this really... It was this scene with like the scholars and stuff, and then everyone was being really intense about talking about dust and stuff, and the dog was just like, which is like not appropriate. So
breach
dog
of contract.
Got fired.
Oh, poor dog. I want to hire the dog now.
Right, we put the call out to all you listeners to ask Daphne and Amir some questions, and we got quite a few. So let's throw some at you. Think Twice or Else on Reddit asks, who is your favorite character in His Dark Materials that isn't yourself? We'll go to Daphne first.
Mrs. Coulter. Will.
You made
and,
it.
Yeah, Mrs. Coulter and Will.
Fair enough.
I'd say Lee Scoresby. I think, you know, he's flying around. He's sick, you know. He would want to
he's
be
cool.
a Texan Ranger.
Yeah.
And Serafina.
Yes.
Witch. I think the witches are sick. I mean, I said that there should be just a witch spin-off series.
Yeah.
Just the witches. Mm-hmm. I think they're just
Woodwatch.
So cool.
Yeah.
Woodwatch.
Very, very cool. Yeah.
And you guys got to work with Ruta in this latest episode and all the witches, right?
Oh, that's finally. So cool. Yeah. Also, the funny thing, I was watching the episode yesterday, I think. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm quite little. And when I'm with Amir, I look little, but you go, oh, like, he's a boy, he's older, like, it's fine. But then you get other women in, and everyone's still much taller than me. So I was literally like, I am a dwarf. it was quite funny, which is, yeah, just thought I'd
share. They're tall ladies, you know, that's fine.
I mean,
did you
not
guys
really,
get to...
but, I mean, they're really tall, but I'm short, so it just looks much, yeah.
You should do the Tom Cruise thing and like bring a cardboard box.
Put it on a box.
I think they did at one point, actually, didn't they? Well, they had me standing on like
pay to
hills. They like if there was tilt, they had me standing at the top so we could actually get us in the same shot, which was awkward.
Look, whatever works. Just you know, take it. It's fine.
I think they're going to be stressed. Me and Daphne have grown so much.
Oh no, it'll be fine.
Yes.
They'll just build bigger sets or something. It'll be all right.
So, yeah, exactly.
All right, who else do we get? Fly You Fools and Time Lord asks, what scene or episode have you enjoyed filming the most so far?
Ooh, I mean, the thing is, obviously we don't film things in chronological in order, like that, because I mean it's more bits and scenes instead of episodes.
But we did blocks, isn't it?
Yeah, we did do blocks. But I think, I mean, still though, it's a bit. I mean, my favorite episode, I'm gonna say, probably the knife fight. I think because I just enjoyed filming the knife fight on a whole. That was really fun, and that whole scene. First time I got to like properly experiment with a knife. And get to see that happen. We'll do that. I think that was probably my favourite episode.
Did it take a lot of kind of choreography, that fight?
Quite a bit. I mean, I tried to do most of it. The only thing I didn't do was a spear out the window.
Fair.
I'm going to say I did that. Say it. You can edit it. So make it look like I did that. Make it look like I did that. I had an amazing stunt double called Hasset Savani. He worked with me on my last job in The Left for the King as well.
Nice.
No, really, really good. And he came in and we got to work through everything. We kind of planned it out on the go. And then, we got to film it, and it was just one full day of this action.
That's awesome.
Really good.
Yeah.
It was cool to watch. I was just standing on the sidelines.
Falling over, right. Pretending to fall over.
Cheering.
Yeah.
Tag team.
No, actually, you had to be really careful if you were standing on the sidelines, because it was stable, but it wasn't stable. So you can lean on like the walls. And at one point we thought Terrence Stamp was gonna fall out of the tower because he like leant and the whole wall went so everyone was like absolutely stressed and thought like Terrence Stamp had just fallen out of the window. Yeah.
That would be bad. Yeah.
It was bad.
That would be embarrassing. Yeah.
We'll throw to another question there. Flavio Calcu, I am butchering your name, Flavio, so apologies.
Okay.
on Facebook. KK, perhaps. He or she asks, is there anything that they added? Is there anything that you guys added as actors into your characters that was not necessarily described in the books? Moods, mannerisms, lines?
I'd say Lyra in the books doesn't always say need, whereas it was a big thing for me when creating Lyra as a character to make her, instead of saying have, she says need, which sort of emphasizes it and is basically one of like her trademarks, which is everything is so extra with her. She's just an extra human being. And I'd say it was that. And I think you're not, when you're acting, you're not really conscious about the things that you... I think you are conscious because obviously you've rehearsed and stuff, but I think that's probably the only on purpose thing. It's just sometimes the character just flows through you, and then you watch it back and you go, oh, I did this differently. Mm. But
yeah,
it just happened.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like I don't think about it. I mean, I don't like think I want to add bits of me into Will and this and that. I think it just like subconsciously has come through naturally.
Yeah.
Maybe in the series, Will's a bit more humorous, a bit more fun, a bit more relaxed, maybe. I feel, I think Will as a character is kind of like on
edge.
He's
more chill.
But I feel maybe he's more relaxed and more, stable.
Yeah, sometimes anyway, for sure. Yeah, but it, I mean, so. I guess all characters in anything are like that. Once you add an actor in, you're obviously adding yourself into
bits
the
of
script.
Me, exactly.
I feel like accidentally, Will became more chill and Lyra became less bratty than in the book.
For the better, for sure.
All right, what's the next one? I've got Watch Your Informant. Can you please ask how they have such good chemistry and how funny was the cinema scene to film? This is a good question. Yeah, as a film journalist, you were talking in a cinema, which obviously I had trouble with, but I'm trying to like get past. But how fun was that? How was it?
It was really fun. We had a great time that day. We went to an actual cinema, so that's not a set. And they'd just been filming this weird scene with Ruth where there was a baby, so there was a fake baby, and we were waiting between takes, and me and Amir decided to carry the baby around and drop it in front of people.
That did happen
in front of old ladies, and they just told us off.
Oh my
really
god, so this, yeah this is, I mean, I thought they would find it funny, they didn't, right? So I had this baby in my hand,
and we were both like, oh, the baby.
And I walked over and then I chopped the baby, and then I used this table of like five women, they all like scream, and then I turned them it's fake, and then they just look so
like,
unimpressed.
It's not funny what you kids doing.
It's not funny. And I was like, oh okay, I'm just gonna walk off. was good. I think a lot of popcorn was thrown that day.
A lot.
A lot of popcorn was thrown that day. I think we just met. That was a fun day because it was a chilled out scene. It's a nice scene to do. And we just had fun that day. We got to go out. I think when we're on location also that day. I think always location's it's always fun so on location. Cool. Yeah,
just a bit more chaotic. It sounds like you guys were creating the chaos anyway in the real world.
No, we're chaotic. We look really put together in interviews and stuff, but on set
we're not.
On set, oh god,
we're jokes. We don't know what's going on.
Maybe that's the secret to on-screen chemistry, though, is just like having a good time in between takes.
I feel like it's also as to just. I think work obviously makes more chemistry. I feel like me and Amir's chemistry got better and better throughout the show because we got to know each other more in real life. Yeah. But I think we do have a similar sense of humor and we just got on. It's just, and we had fun and we went out like in the afternoons and stuff. We just got to know each other, which I think is probably how you get chemistry.
You can't fake chemistry either.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't fake it. It's not something you can fake.
Just happens or not. It's just.
We got another good question here from Think Twice or Else on Reddit. Who would you like to play if you could choose any other character in His Dark Materials besides Lyra and Will? Amir, we'll start with you.
Mrs. Coulter.
Good, I'd like to see that.
You'd make a lovely Mrs. Coulter.
I mean, I'm used to always playing like the good guy and like, you know, the chosen one. I want to play someone who's different, someone who's a bit more mean and a bit of a meaner side to a character. That'd be fun to experiment with. But.
They do say bad guys have more fun, so
Can I say?
What about you, Daphne?
I think I'd have to say Mrs. Coulter also, or Will maybe. I feel like Mrs. Coulter, what I'd love about Mrs. Coulter is but like Amir said, because we're still young and usually the characters that get given to kids usually always the same type of characters. Usually people who have, in my case, people who have like extreme issues with their parents, either orphans or they've abandoned them or they're psychopaths. And usually as the girl, you get cast in either the like teen who falls in love and is like pretty and amazing. Or like me, you get to play feral child who is absolutely crazy and doesn't know how to use a fork. So I feel like I'd really enjoy just playing Mrs. Coulter because, as Amir said, being evil is just, we've never gotten that experience. So that would be really cool.
And she definitely knows how to use a fork.
Exactly. And she's just so complicated and so amazing and sophisticated, which just, as someone who's played feral characters, just really appeals to me. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely the most complex character in the show as well.
Mrs. 100%.
Coulter, amazing.
Yeah.
But you've got to give it to her, though, because I think she's kind of just in a world surrounded where men are on top and men are kind of running everything. And she's kind of, you can kind of see in the scenes of like the Magisterium, she's kind of like the only female there.
Yeah.
And she's still able to, like,
I mean, and she's able to hold herself and still have such power. And I admire her for that. I think that's sick.
I mean,
I think that's, sorry, I was just going to say, I think that's something that the series has brought out really, really well this season. Like, it's really emphasized the fact that she has had these tough struggles, as you say, it adds a real extra layer to her character. It's great.
I just think the depiction of Mrs. Coulter is just so incredible because she's in power, but you can always see the sexism that surrounds her. You can always see the way that she gets things is by manipulating, which is what we're taught to do as girls since we're little. We're like, never be upfront, just do your things, be quiet, be pretty. And she just does it in a different way, but you can see she does what many women are told to do, which is use your sexuality. And it's just so well done. And it's not done in a way where you think what she's doing is right, where you're thinking what she's doing is sad that she has to do it, when you know she's the most talented person in that room and she's the only person who's having to use her sexuality to get things out of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You really see that in the scenes of her and the cardinal now, I guess, sort of manipulating him into his position. Okay, we've got one more question here, which comes from Derp Antelope. Okay.
Good names, everyone.
So, so what trait of your character do you most relate to? So, of Lyra and Will. And also, what is your favourite biscuit? Now we're getting into the really tough stuff.
Yeah. God, tough question.
Big one.
Go on, Daphne.
I'm thinking, should I say yours and you say mine? That might be more fun.
Sure.
let's do that. Okay, cool. That's I think Daphne. I'd say Daphne is quite like spontaneous, and she's quite like. She's quite like, not okay. Chaotic's the wrong word. I think
I am
like,
chaotic.
A rule breaker. Lyra's a rule breaker. And I think that's cool. That's also. I mean, both me and Daphne are, and I think that's also another reason why we get along. So I'd say Daphne's definitely on like the spontaneous kind of like rule breaking daredevil side. She definitely relates to Lyra in that way.
Fair enough.
And I'd say Amir's similarity to Will. I'd say just Will is just really in control, which I feel like Amir is, but in a different way. But I'd say Amir's just not as quiet and like mellow as Will is. I'd say
maybe I speak a bit too much.
But I'd say Amir is, the thing that they have in common is that they're sweet. Oh,
yay! Yeah. Compliment from Daphne.
Yes, yes. Probably first time that ever happened.
And that's on tape.
First and last. Yeah.
And most biscuits. No, the real. Yeah. Yeah, the real question here. Come on.
I really. God.
You can't go wrong with chocolate covered digestives.
Solid. Oh,
those
God.
Are the one.
Yes,
those are the one.
Solid, yeah, choice. I agree.
Or what's it called? Hobnobs.
Chocolate covered hobnobs here. Yeah, specifically?
Yeah, of course.
I might be basic and say shortbread.
Also
Walker's
acceptable.
Shortbread is...
Come on.
It's a different level.
Shortbread.
Also, I'm Spanish, so shortbread really excites me because we don't have shortbread in Spain. So every time I go to UK, it's like shortbread, like, craziness.
As a kid, I used to live on those party ring things. So it's like, you know, there's like sugar covered. And they look like donuts and they're really thin.
Filipinos?
Just get... No. What did you hear, Daphne?
Like, I don't know.
Party rings. They're good.
Party rings.
Oh, God. Leave me. No, never mind. See, this is what I mean. This is usually what happens.
I like Filipino covered biscuits.
No, hey, do you not have Filipinos in the UK? Filipino biscuits.
Oh, Filipino is actually a biscuit.
Like, it's a biscuit. That's right, where.
Wait, this explains a lot.
Are those the ones that come in the big tubes?
Yes,
with the sort of,
and it's
padding
like a weird,
around the tube.
Like hard donut. Like it's a really nice. No.
Okay, so you're not as weird, Daphne. Now it's more normal.
It's a Filipino. God, I'm gonna send.
It
you
does
a
ring a bell. I think I have seen them. Yeah, I think I have seen them in Spain.
They're
I don't think I've seen
incredible.
Them very much here.
Daphne, Amir, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for the biscuit chat.
Thank you for having us.
Lovely. Thank you for having us.
His Darker Materials is a Stripped Media production. Our executive producers are Kobe Omanaka and Tom Wally. The episode was edited, mixed and sound designed by Tom Wally. This episode was produced by Helen O'Hara and Dave Corkery. All our music was composed by John Dix. Our artwork was created by Sam Gilby. And the excerpt read at the top of the show was taken from the book The Subtle Knife by Philip Pullman and published by Scholastic. This episode was recorded remotely in parallel worlds. Finally, big thank you to James Carroll and the team at Northbank Talent Management.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.